James chapter number 1. I've been studying all this week, and I hope it's not anything to come, but I've been studying this week on suffering and what not only the sufferings of this life, but the in the sense that of trials and troubles that may come our way, but more so from the perspective of the very testing that's being accomplished in it. And spent a great deal of time looking this week at Genesis 22 and that test that was given unto Abraham there and what he was asked to do of the Lord. And we were talking about that a couple weeks ago as we were looking at faith and the necessity of faith and what how faith is necessary for us to please God. And in the examples that were given to us there in Hebrews chapter 11, as Paul writes there concerning that work of faith in us, he shows those examples of those children of God throughout the Old Testament, and specifically he mentions Abraham in regards to Genesis 22, and that testing that he had to endure, and the faith that was revealed in that of Abraham for the promises of God. And we read here in James chapter 1, James spends a great deal of time here in this first chapter in regards to the testing that comes our way as the children of God, as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we live in this world. There are going to be things that come our way. There's going to be trials. There's going to be temptations. There are periods of testing that God allows and brings into our lives to make us what He would have us to be. We are being made, as He has declared in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, we are being made into the image of Christ Jesus. And so by that work and by that process, as we were talking about last week in regards to that sanctification that we have in Christ, in that process that He is bringing to pass in us, it requires some refining in us. And refining just doesn't happen in a breezy, happy little way. Refining, when you refine something, you have to melt it down, you see. You have to get to the very core of it, and you have to melt that down to get out the dross and to get out those impurities in it, to make it finer, to make it more to that substance that you're desiring to get out of it. And so refining is a process that is destructive. It's destructive to what is outwardly seen. And so when we consider the idea of the testing and the temptations that come in our life, there is it's not an easy thing to consider as we look at these things that God would allow and God would put into our lives. And so notice with me as we look at what James has to say in regards to this. He begins in verse 1, James, the servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which were scattered abroad, greeting. Now, I don't want to, this is aside from the idea of the testing, but I don't want to pass it up here. James is the half-brother of the Lord Jesus. He is the son of Joseph and Mary. If anybody had a right to brag physically and who he was, James could have done that here. Oh, he's my brother. You know, I know him. He could have went, but he didn't do that. Notice what he calls himself: a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. James was not trying to allude in any way of his relationship to the Lord Jesus, but rather to the simple fact he is one of his servants also. He is one of his servants also. Another thing I want you to see here is that he wrote to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. There are not 10 missing tribes. God knows exactly where they're at. He's got all of his people. He knows where the 12 tribes of Israel are at. And James is writing to all of them here, writing to these 12 tribes, greeting. Those which are scattered abroad, greeting. And then he begins to describe to us this idea of suffering. Now, as we looked two weeks ago, as we were looking at the idea of faith and the necessity of faith, James spends a great deal of time there in chapter 2 in regards to the faith that is given us and that faith and the works that that faith produces. But here he begins talking to us about this testing that comes in our lives. And he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning. Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day. We thank you, Father, for your great grace, for this another day that we can enter into your house to look to your word. Father, we pray that you would give us understanding of these things as we study this morning. We pray that you would help us, Father, to realize your work in our lives as you're ever drawing us closer to you. We pray that you'd help us to be submissive servants to your direction, that we would yield our members, that we would yield our hearts and our attitudes, Father, to your work, and that we would be faithful to it, Father. Forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings, and how often, Father, we hold on to self and to the things of this world, and help us that we would set aside those things that we might ever desire, and that we would ever seek, Father, to honor your name in our lives. Help us, Father, to hold fast to you. Help us to walk as you'd have us to walk, and talk as you'd have us to talk, that we'd ever be faithful, Father, to be proclaimers of the gospel of Christ Jesus, and what that great work that you've accomplished for us and what it has accomplished in us, Father, we pray that you'd help us to declare that to all we come in contact with. Father, forgive us again of our sins, our shortcomings. Draw us unto you this day, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now, James begins here in verse 2, and he says something that is strange to us. It's contrary to the flesh. It's not something at all that we would consider when facing a particular trial that comes in our lives. James says here, count it all joy. Count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy. Now, one temptation is enough to make us sour. One trial that comes in our path is enough to set us on a bad attitude and to have our hearts turned aside and to be griping and grumbling and complaining. The Lord, one is all it takes to do that. And yet James says, count it all joy when you fall into a bunch of them, into diverse temptations. Knowing this is the reason he said why. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. Rejoice in the trials. Rejoice in the troubles. Again, that's not something that we would normally consider. That's not something that is normal for the flesh to do. Paul, as we've been studying through 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Lord willing, we'll eventually get there. But I keep quoting from this passage, but I want you to see this attitude of Paul in regards to this. He had similarly the same attitude James has in regards to these temptations and these trials that came his way. He says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and he's talking here about all of these great revelations that God had given him, and then the wonder of the way that God had given these to him. He said he was called up to the third heaven. He said, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. I just know where I was at. And then while I was there, God gave me all of these abundant revelations of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he would have for us to do. And he said, if I could brag in something, well, I could get puffed up in this, all the knowledge that God had given him there. And he said, to keep him from doing so, there was a thorn in the flesh that was given to him. This thorn in the flesh, he said, it was the messenger, verse 7, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And so this was a particular trial because Paul accounted it for those revelations that he had received, all of these blessings that God had given him in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus and the things that he was supposed to declare to these churches and all this stuff that God had poured on him and given to him. This trial had come upon Paul because of that, Paul says. And Paul said, I've sought the Lord thrice. Three times he prayed, Lord, take this from me. This is a problem. This is hindering me. This is hurting me. I can't serve you like I want to serve you. I can't be the witness that I want to be. I can't be the preacher that I want to be because of this infirmity that is on me. Lord, I take this from me. Three times Paul prayed, take this from me. And the Lord's answer came to him. He said unto me, I don't know if the Lord said this to him three times, and it took three times for Paul to get it, or he just said it to him once, I don't know. But he said this to him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul got his answer. No, I'm not taking it from you. You're going to endure this trial, Paul. You're going to go on through this. This infirmity is going to remain on you. And while you are under the burden of that infirmity, while you are under the burden of this strain that is on you, know this, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now Paul has a heart change here. He's got an attitude change, and it's the same thing that James is talking about in James chapter 1. When Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So Paul says, I take pleasure in these things now. That don't make sense to us. For those of us that have experienced the trial, Those of us that have went through these times of trying, those times of temptation, it doesn't make sense to us to be taking pleasure in those things. I've not had a trial yet that I think that I was, yes, this is wonderful. So what does Paul mean? What does James mean? Paul says he counts it all, or he takes pleasure in it, he said there in 2 Corinthians. James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. What are they meaning here? How can this be that we count it all joy? How can this be that we take pleasure in these times of trial? James says the reason why is for us to recognize that God's working in us in this. That in the midst of that trial, in the midst of that testing that we are going through, God is working in our lives. He's molding us. He's moving in our very beings, making us what He would have for us to be. And so He's working these things out. Specifically, He says He's working patience in us. Faith and trust in the God that is ours. So what does he mean to count it all joy? What does Paul mean when he says, I take pleasure in these infirmities? Well, those brethren are meaning exactly what they say. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Take pleasure. Because God is working in us. This is not for naught. This testing, this trial is not something just something bad that I have to go through. That's not what it's about, you see. But rather it is for the purpose of making us more like our Savior. It's God working in us to make us what He would have us to be. It's Him moving and molding and working and changing and refining us into the servant that He would have us to be for Him. And that, friends, is a, even though it's hard to recognize in the midst of the trial, that is a glorious thing. A glorious thing. In the vastness of this universe, in the trillions of stars that are scattered throughout space, to the only estimate, we can't even fully grasp the distance that has to be traveled to get across this great plane that is called space, this great plane that is called the universe. And here, on one little speck in the middle of all of this, is this little planet Earth. And upon this, in the vastness of all that God has created, He has us, His people. And out of all of the creation that He has made, and out of all the numbers of people that He has made throughout history, upon that one little ball in the midst of all of this vastness, God has chosen us unto Himself. I've made you mine. I've bought you. I'm going to make you what I would have you to be. And Him lovingly works in our lives, allowing us, bringing to pass in our lives these trials and these periods of testing and these tribulations and these temptations that come our way. He allowing these things in our lives for the purpose of making us more like His Son, that He might display His grace in us, that He might display His love in us, that He might build in us His patience, that we might in turn declare that to all those
around us.
Paul says there again in Romans 8, verse number 28, that all these things, and he's in specifically in reference to these trials and these temptations and these testings that come our way, specifically is speaking to that end. And he says there in verse 28, we know that all things work together for good. For good. To them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. All of this is for our good. It's what he is working in us. And so James says that we are to count it all joy when we fall into these things, when we see ourselves surrounded in these diverse temptations, knowing this, he says, that the trying of your faith worketh. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Romans 5 and verse number 3. Romans 5 and verse number 3, Paul says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. He's working in us. He's molding us. He's making us as he would have us to be. We read examples of God's children, in, for instance, in Acts chapter 5. Notice with me here in verse 41 and 42 specifically. Here, the disciples are being brought before the high priest, persecuting them. And as they bring them forward, they are threatening them because they continue to preach the gospel of Christ, they're continuing to preach in the name of Jesus. And so they want to put a stop to this. And of course, they're threatening to kill them and so on. And Gamaliel, he speaks up and he says, listen, if this is of God, it'll continue. And this is not of God, it'll go away. And he believed it was not of God, so he thought it was going to go away. And he said, so let's just leave him alone, because it'll fizzle if it's not of God. And it says, verse 40, to him, they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So here they've arrested them, they have tried them, they beat them and command them no longer to speak the name of Jesus. And they turned them loose. And it says in verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Rejoicing. Rejoicing. Acts chapter 16 and verse number 25. Acts chapter 16 and verse number 25. This is after Paul was arrested here in Philippi, and the multitude rose up against them, and they ripped off their clothes, and they beat them, they chained them in the prison, into the innermost part of the prison, their feet in stocks, which, of course, it's not our idea of stocks today, and what we consider from colonial times, it wasn't just for shame. These stocks were a torture device that would put your hips in a strain where it felt like your sockets there of your legs were about to come out of your hip joint. That's how these devices work, these stocks that they put them in. And here they had been beaten, they put in the innermost part of the prison, and they're chained up in stocks. And it says in verse 25, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Sang praises unto God. Glory in our infirmities. Count it all joy. That's just not normal for us. That's not natural. But it is God's grace working in our lives to bring to pass, making us like Christ. And again, he says there in verse 3, knowing this, the very purpose of it, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The rejoicing is in the faith of God and His will, that He is working in us to bring to pass that molding into the image of the Lord Jesus. There is a reason for every trial, for every testing. There is a reason in it for us. And so we must seek God's face in the midst of those trials, in the midst of those tribulations, in the midst of those testings that come our way, that we may know that it is Him allowing these things and bringing to pass these things in our lives, and that we might hold fast to Him in the midst of that testing. We would recognize it is my God working on me. Because there are no fun trials. There are no fun trials. Job chapter 1. Look with me at Job's response. Job chapter 1. Now Job's lost everything here. That is a correct description. What James says there concerning diverse temptations or many different kinds of temptations, that's what happened to Job. He had everything poured out on him. I mean, he's lost his properties. He's lost all that he had on those properties, all his cattle, his sheep, his houses. Everything is destroyed. He lost his children. They all died in this. His body is cursed in the sense that he has these sores on him. He's sick. He's got all of these things that's happened to him. And, I mean, it's one right after the other as it's being poured out on him. It says in verse 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. He worshipped. And this is his worship. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord's given, the Lord's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He worshipped. In all of these temptations that's come his way, now listen, Job didn't, he goes on to tell us here in verse 22, in all this Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. Now Job had some misunderstandings about all of this, and Job got to the point where he was justifying himself in all of this, and he got a wrong attitude about this, about these trials, but Job understood that the Lord allowed this, and the Lord is the one that is given, the Lord's the one that's taken away, and he was going to praise the name of the Lord. In fact, he goes on to say, yet though he destroy me, yet will I trust, or yet though he slay me, he says, yet will I trust in him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. You know, many times when we go through the trials that come our way, we see over and over again many people do this. They will blame God all the way through the trial that they're facing as they're going through it, and they're accusing him of not loving, they're accusing him of being cruel, they're accusing him of whatever. God, if you were real, God, if you were here, God, if you loved me, you wouldn't allow this to come in my life. It's when we face these trials and these temptations of life, it's when we face these things that we find, are we truly submitted to our Lord? Are we truly his bondservant? Or are we holding on to self? You see, the trials and the tribulations that come in our life, they teach us. They teach us to trust our God. They teach us that even in the midst of those testings and even in the midst of those trials, he is ever faithful. Ever faithful. They teach us of his power. They teach us of his love. And when we are going, or when I should say, when we see others that are going through trials and periods of temptation and testings in their life, we see troubles facing them, we need to be very careful not to judge them while they're facing that trial. Because it's easy to do. It's easy to see somebody in trouble. And given what God has blessed us with in our day and the place that we live here in the nation that we enjoy, all the liberties and freedoms that we have, it's easy to see somebody else facing a particular situation, going through a particular trial, and look at them and say, oh, God must not be pleased with them. They must have done something wrong. Wonder what God's punishing them for. Need to be careful, baby. It may not be anything that they have done. It may be, in fact, because of their faithfulness they are enduring that particular trial. And so instead of seeking to bring judgment against them, we need to be praying for them. Lord, help them in this time. Lord, strengthen them in this time. Lord, help them to see your grace in this. Verse 4, James says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The mark mature Christian is patience. Patience. It is a gift of the Spirit, but it comes by testing and trial. Our Lord's whole ministry, His whole ministry was tested and tried. Do you honestly think that you can be more like Him and not have to face the same? His whole ministry was tried. There is a purpose for us to have more patience. And so He says, let patience work. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Totally focused and centered on the Father's will. That when we face those trials, we see these things that come in our life, we recognize we need our Father's presence, we need His strength, we need His ability, for we can do nothing without Him. And so James goes on to tell us there in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, if you're wondering, how am I going to make it through this thing? How is it that I'm going to face this trial? How is it that I'm supposed to go? How is it that I'm supposed to live? How is it that I'm supposed to do? How is it that I'm supposed to have all joy? As many of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. We face those trials, we need wisdom to face them. And where will we get that wisdom but from our Father alone? He is the one that gives that. And He goes on to say there in verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from Him. And so we need that wisdom to face these trials. Wisdom teaches us what to do when we face those trials that come our way. Wisdom causes us to hear the answer to Paul's inquiry, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. God does not hold back His help. He does not hold back His love. He gives wisdom liberally, He says. But He doesn't necessarily take away the testing. Doesn't mean He'll take away the trial. But He'll ever be present with us in the midst of it. Our ever-present help in time of need. Our problem is we face a trial, and we never ask God for the wisdom concerning it. We try to solve it in our own power. We try to figure out why it's come our way. And we try to fix it. But in the wisdom of God, He can give us all we need to face that trial that we are going through. that we not lean on our own strength or our own ability, but that we lean wholly upon Him. Let him ask in faith, he says in verse 6, nothing wavering. He that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. How many times have we asked God's help? How many times have we faced a trial, faced a temptation, faced a testing that has come in our lives, that we've come to the throne of God and we've laid that thing down before our Father and laid it at His feet and said, Father, I turn this over to You. I can't do this on my own. I don't have the strength. I don't have the ability. I need Your wisdom. I need Your grace. I need Your help. And we've laid that at His feet and walked away from that. And then turn around 10 minutes later, an hour later, a day later, 2 days later, and go and, Lord, I think I can handle this by myself. I'll take it back. And we get that trial and take it back and try to wrestle with it ourselves instead of leaving it where we left it, at the feet of our Lord. How often do we fail in the testings that come our way, by instead of looking to Him and holding fast to Him? What was Abraham's answer? Isaac said, Dad, we got fire and we got the wood, but where's the sacrifice? What was Abraham's answer to it? The Lord will provide Himself a sacrifice. Lord's going to take care of this, Isaac. Don't worry about this. The Lord's going to take care of this. I just got to do what He's told me to do. I got to follow in His steps. I got to follow what He's told me to go and do this thing. But the Lord's going to take care of it. He's going to work it out. See, we must ask in faith. He says there in verse 6, nothing wavering. We must ask in full assurance that God will give all we need to face this trial. Someone who wavers is one who is tossed about by every circumstance, by every situation. Every problem causes them to react with anxiety. Instead of trusting. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. He says in verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He says in verse 9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. Whatever state, James says, that we find ourselves in, be content. Be content in the Lord. If we are enduring trial, if we're enduring testing, if we are enjoying the blessings of life, if we're enjoying the hardships of life, whatever it may be that we are facing in our life, be content in our Lord. And so he says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, and the rich in that he is made low. Because all of this is just temporary. All of this is temporary. And there, in that very reality, is where the majority of our failing is as the children of God. Is because we view nothing temporary. We view it all as lasting. We view it all as eternal. We view it all as continuing on. We cannot fathom our short lives as anything but going on and on and on and on. And so when we face a trial and we face a tribulation and a time of testing comes in our lives, the only thing we can see, oh my goodness, this is going to last, and like this is all I have right here. This is all there is for me. This is just going to continue on and on and on. We can't see the reality that everything, all of this, swiftly passing. All of this is swiftly passing. He says, for the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. It's just passing by quickly. It's going to be gone. This is just a short time. And so if we are resting in our laurels and we are holding fast to all the blessings that we're enjoying, it's going to pass. And we're struggling under the weight of reality, and we're struggling under the problems of life, and we see all of these struggles and all these trials as the children of God that are upon us. It's going to be over with. So it's just passing. It's temporary. It is these very trials, it is these very tribulations that James is telling us to count it all joy in, that we are going to be delivered from in eternity. There's not going to be any more of those. No more testings, no more trials, no more temptations, no more tribulations. In the presence of our Lord, all of those things will be past, all of those things will be gone. But because of those things, because of the endurance of those things in this life, as our Lord is working and building in us, because of those things, there is reward in eternity because of them. Isn't that remarkable? God chooses us unto Himself. He calls us His own. He makes us His sons and daughters. It would have been enough for Him to simply save us and say, okay, your sin's washed away, you're forgiven, now come spend eternity with me. It would have been enough for that. Right? But He goes beyond that. He goes beyond the reality of simply saving us and taking from us our sin, but He makes us sons and daughters. He makes us His children. And then He goes beyond even that, but then in the working of our lives as He builds in us and makes us more and more like Christ, making us like His Son. And all that we endure in this life, He's giving us reward for it. For something He has worked in us. And so He says in verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. His purpose is always to build us up in Christ. His allowing testing to prove our faith in him is to make us like his dear son. Testing is not proving to God, it is proving to us. It is proving to us. God already knows. It is proving to us his faithfulness, his love, his grace. Testing will either drive you to the Lord or it will drive you away from him. Where do you stand today? Are you looking forward to this crown of life? James says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Are you looking forward to that crown of life? Can you rejoice? Can you count it all joy in the temptations and trials that come in your life? This is only it's only possible by Christ Jesus. Only possible by him. This world cannot bear up under one trial. It's only by Christ, only by him, that we are built in him. Where do you stand today? Do you have Christ? Do you know your sins are forgiven? Do you know Jesus is my Lord and my Savior? That does not mean life will now get easy. In fact, he says it's going to get harder. Do you have Christ today? He is your only hope of life. Your only hope of salvation. Your only hope of righteousness is Christ. Do you have him today? Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus. May God help us to be faithful in the testings that come our way. Let's all stand. Brother Frank, would you bring us a song?